following program has been brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. For more information, visit www.cane5.com.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah. That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high.
Thanks for tuning in. This is The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. Today I have on my show one of my favorite neighborhood bartenders. He actually works right across the street from my bar, Nick Coles from Mini Bar in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn. Welcome to the show, Nick.
What's going on, Damon?
How are you, sir?
I am well. It's a beautiful day in Brooklyn.
It's pretty standard. Got some hail coming down the roof and overcast and gloomy, and couldn't ask for better weather to be in the studio talking about alcohol.
the rye whiskey makes it all better.
That's true. So you've been at Mini Bar for a few years now. You've been there, what, like three or four?
I've been there. I just had my four-year anniversary last January.
So oh, nice. Congratulations, yeah, man. Over those past few years, we've gotten to know each other pretty well, both living around the neighborhood and being the kind of like friendly neighborhood establishment that it is. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and drinking with you and discussing cocktails and just life in general and drinking. I definitely remember one of the first times that I met you. You were working on kind of like a whiskey cocktail with like muddled kiwi in it, I think. Or
yeah,
I remember kiwi.
I think the bartender that I was working with at the time, Alex Haskell, had gone up to the cocktails on the Hudson, mm-hmm. you know, with the Gary Regan jam up there. And I think he had like come up with a kiwi cocktail, and it was like on our cocktail list, and I was trying to figure out ways to work with kiwi.
Yeah, I totally ripped you off.
Well, I totally ripped him off. So. What's the Picasso thing? Good artist borrow, good artist steal, bad artist borrow.
So. Yeah. I was working at a bar called, you have to excuse my voice, I'm a little froggy under the weather right now. I was working at a bar in Prospect Heights called Barrette at the time. I was head bartender over there and writing their cocktail list. And I did kind of like a kiwi daiquiri kind of thing that was totally ripped off from Mini Bar from Nick Coles.
And,
sorry about that.
And from Alex Haskell, it's a lineage.
And Alex Haskell.
And completely cost effective.
Totally. Totally. I like sarcasm. It's one of my favorite traits of you. So let's talk about the neighborhood in which we both bartend, and like we were talking a little bit before about Mini Bar. I mean, like, let's first talk about that. Like, how many seats do you guys have? I mean, it is a very small establishment.
Wow, we have six actual seats at the bar. We have, I don't know, maybe 30 seats in the entire place. So it's definitely get to know your neighbor, whether you want to or not.
Yeah. You know? Well, what I notice about it, it tends to, later at night, it turns into something really, really crazy. It's kind of like the industry late night spot where you'll see people from.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I mean, if you want to meet the person that, you know, brought you your dinner and cooked your dinner in that neighborhood, the chances are they're probably hanging out in Mini Bar.
Yeah, after the restaurant closes. You know, you see people from Abilene, from the grocery, from Clover Club, Jake Walk, Primeath Frankie's, from Buttermilk Channel, especially. Absolutely. Those kids like to hang out there. Yeah, I think that's, it's like, to me, it's like the South Brooklyn version of the Randolph in the city. It's like where all the industry people go to let loose, talk shop, let off some steam, and basically just, you know, celebrate the end of a shift.
You know, I like to call it like I almost feel like, you know, like late on a Saturday or even like Sunday night after people have, you know, gotten off of doubles, it's almost like a group therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh man, I had table 10 and they were like, man, they were, oh man, you know, or like, you know, the kitchen guys were like, oh man, you know, the guy in state on the fry station called in sick, and then like, you know, the expediter had to like pop on, and you know, there are all these stories that happen, and it's
Table 42 was getting a hand job.
You might we'll
talk more about Table 42 later.
Table 42. I just want to say, like, I think we like consciously tried to foster that environment. You know, I mean, because Minibar opened like 7 years ago, and I think Frankie's was kind of the first kind of restaurant on the south part of Carroll Gardens that really drew people there. And then I think Buttermilk opened a little over 2 years ago, and they started like coming in and hanging out, and we kind of made friends, and we made this like almost like every night service industry happy hour thing going on, you know, where we have some cheap lager beers and some shots of Fernet and Jameson's. And,
yeah. Industry standards.
Yes.
I remember one of the last few times I was there, you were having this Super Bowl party, which I don't typically watch the Super Bowl unless I'm watching it with a bunch of people that I like. And there was a lot going on.
Yeah, there was some serious food. We had some, you know,
seriously,
some of the sous chefs in the hood. You know, we had this like ridiculous meatballs and like chili, and then it was a pretty solid hang. And I'm from Wisconsin, so you know, I'm from Milwaukee, but you know, go Packers. It was a good night for me.
Yeah, totally, man. You know, speaking of that, like, you know, being in a tight space like that and having all that food, everyone's like getting along, like hanging out, you're like, it reminds me of like small town I grew up in, you know, like you're basically like in a small town and you're all there together, and you hung out together because you're there together. What's funny, I want to go back to something you were saying earlier about that. You were telling me once before that apparently Minibar is a popular like blind like internet dating
bar
for some reason, like
that, eHarmony, and I mean, it's
how the hell did that even happen?
Well, I think it's like you know, it's especially on a weekday, you know, at a certain time, it's, you know, kind of like a really mellow, and we have, you know, it's nice like candle lit, and we have like wine and prosecco, and it's a good place to it's not a loud place, so people can, you know, get to know somebody, but I've definitely,
it can get loud. We'll talk about that later.
Definitely witnessed my share of like awkward
first dates,
and you know, other bartenders like, you know, Julian Keith at Abilene, they have similar stories.
Yeah, but we were talking about how small the place is, and like you end up hanging out with the other people that are in the bar whether you want to or not. So to me, it's always like, maybe that's like a safety net. Like if they get bored, if they end up not liking the person they're on a blind date with, they can talk to the person next to them on the other side of the bar.
And I always try to like introduce people to each other that live. I mean, pretty much everyone lives like down the street and around the corner. So I had one night where everyone was on their iPhones checking Twitter or Facebook or the news or whatever the hell else you check on your iPhone, and it was like five people sitting at the bar all doing that. I'm like, you know what? You all need to learn each other's names. You all live like down the street from each other. Sam, this is Dan. Dan, this is Sam. Sam, this is Alex. Alex, this is, you know. And it was, that's how you build a community. And I think that's important in a neighborhood bar.
Well, that's important in a neighborhood bartender, too. Mm-hmm. I think you have a really good way of keeping that going as well. Because, you know, I see, like, when I get off work and I go over there and hang out and see all these people around the neighborhood, I don't know them all, but you always have a good way, like a classic bartender style of, like, introducing everyone, which is awesome.
I mean, and we're like, you know, we're like a, you know, typical neighborhood bar. Like, people have met there that have gotten married, you know. And,
totally.
And, like, and, you know, there's that, and it's awesome. And I've watched that happen in the last 4 years.
Yeah, nice. talking, going back to the bar not being too loud. you're a musician.
Right.
You play several different instruments. Mm-hmm. You play flute.
Yeah, it's my primary studies since I was a kid.
Cool. You play some keys. What else?
You know, I can play like Johnny Cash tunes on the guitar. And,
yeah. Well, I write. We have a couple acoustics over here, nice. So we might make you play a song.
Oh, no. you know, I write and arrange. I do like string and horn arrangements, kind of.
Like composition.
Yeah, stuff. Commercially. Yeah. So.
Cool. Speaking of composing, we'll get back into you played a few bands, the Akron Family and Emmanuel and the Fear.
I shouldn't say I play in Akron Family, but I've worked with those guys.
Worked with them, right.
I love them.
Cool. We'll talk a little bit after our break about like traveling around and touring and playing shows and stuff. But I want to go back to composition. There's something that's very important for bars to have, and it's something that has been put on Yelp, if you can even start to trust it. We'll go to that too. The playlist at Mini Bar, like you put together all the playlists and right. all the music, and it's always fantastic. It's very like smooth playlist as far as like the transition from song to song.
Right.
That takes like the, you know, the DJ skills, yeah. but you always like tend to have your finger on the pulse with some stuff. And, it's either really good drinking music or really good drunk music. I feel like yeah, it's yeah. like, I want to drink now. Oh, I totally want to listen to this now that I'm drunk. What are some of the favorites that you have as far
well,
as
I think, you know, when I put together playlists, I got to go by, you know, kind of vibe. So there's definitely in like,
absolutely.
I guess some like indie rock playlists, which happen to be a lot of bands from Brooklyn. And actually it
kind that
of
works out
kind of bit me in the ass recently. Matt Berenger is the lead singer of The National. Was in waiting for a table at, I believe, Prime Meats with like his wife and some friends. And like this playlist had just a shitload of National on it. So I'm like, and I didn't want him to like feel embarrassed or self-conscious. So I kept skipping the National songs on the playlist. And anyway, I sent him out a round of drinks. And like, he's in the house. He's like, oh, you didn't have to do that. I'm like, you know what, man? Our bar probably owes your PRO like a fat check. But so I think, you know, keeping a vibe. So I have like this kind of like indie rock playlist, you know, kind of more current things. So both like bartenders don't get bored, mm-hmm. and you know the regular customers don't get, you know, bored. So it changes up, you know, to more current stuff. And then I feel on Saturdays I usually start out with some like early electric blues, like Howlin' Wolf and like Little Walter yeah. and Guitar Slim. Then I ease it into like, you know, these kind of funk and soul mixes, you know, like totally. Bill Withers and James Brown.
Absolutely.
People love to drink to that on Saturdays. Yeah. And it's like you know, you see people like bobbing their heads or the new thing is like, you know, you made a good playlist when people are holding their iPhone up with the Shazam.
With the Shazam. Yeah.
And
the
they're trying to, you know, they're trying to, you know, figure out what this is. And I mean,
they could just,
they should just come at
They should
me.
Just yell across the bar. They wouldn't even have to yell that hard. but that is very flattering, you know. And then also, going back to what you were saying about keeping that pace and like the groove for not only like the service for the customers, and you know that music will definitely keep people in a place where they're hanging out and having fun. But it's also good for the bartender too, you know, because like you kind of like find a rhythm in it, and then mm-hmm. especially us as musicians, like that are bartenders, we find the rhythm and the pace of mm-hmm. the service when we're slammed, and then we can kind of like flow along with that.
You know, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Super important. Of course, like, you know, then, you know, when you get towards the end of the night and you start, like, maybe toning it down a little bit.
Yeah, man,
and
you gotta, I got this out of it. Dave Goodwin's Deep Soul Treasures. It's, like, 25 tracks, and it's, like, this just, like, nice kind of medium slow jams.
Nice.
And it's, like, it kind of winds everything down on a busy Saturday.
Cool, man. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but on the subject of music, this is a song called Rye.
I wrote this a few years ago. This is a 10-piece band I used to write for. It's my band. Not together anymore, really, because I don't have the brain power to deal with a 10-piece band anymore. But anyway,
it's like, anyone who does.
It's like a small, big band. It's about rye whiskey, and which we might have one during the break.
Yeah, I believe we will. We'll be right back with Nick Coles from Mini Bar. This is Rye. From Nick Coles and the...
Nick Coles plus nine.
Plus nine. All right. Back in a moment.
On March 27th, meet Dr. Temple Grandin, best-selling author and world-renowned animal behavior expert who has designed humane animal handling facilities all over the world. Join hosts Katie Kiefer and Patrick Martins on the main course at 1 p.m. on Sunday, March 27th, as they get an in-depth look at the livestock industry and how it's changing.
Speaking of March 27th, that Sunday coming up, we have a really great event coming up that's the fundraiser for the Museum of Food and Drink at Del Posto. If you're around and want to come join, we'll have a bunch of great bartenders and chefs cooking up some really amazing, incredible stuff, and some bartenders joining in, myself included, and having a really great time. That was awesome. Wow. Nice job on that song, Nick.
Word, yeah.
We've got Nick Coles on the show, yes. From Mini Bar in Brooklyn, and he wrote that song. It's called Rye, and it's by Nick Coles, Plus Nine. And we were talking a little bit before the break about some reviews on Yelp saying, you know, what a great playlist and what great music, and that's probably one of the very few things that Yelp has ever had to offer for anyone who legitimately checks out reviews. I mean,
yeah. I mean, we know, I think we've been open for almost 7 years, and, or I should say Mini Bar's been open for almost 7 years.
Not for your bar, just in general, Yelp in general.
Yeah.
You know, but, go ahead.
Oh no, but Yelp has been very kind to us, but I think we have like 18 reviews. And you have like places like Buttermilk Channel. I think they have, I mean, I do this for entertainment. I like go home and I read Yelp reviews, but it's like they have like 350 and they've been open for, you know, 2 years.
I don't like reading Yelp for, I was at a seminar yesterday, actually. It was this Pioneers in Mixology seminar put on by Pernod Ricard. And we had, Gary Regan, Dushan Zarek from Employees Only, Aisha Sharp, Nick Strangeway did a huge thing on foraging for fresh ingredients in Central Park for cocktails. It was a really eye-opening, amazing thing, and they talked a little while about reviews and how like people find out about new places and places to go, and you know what reviews you trust the most are your friends that. That you trust, and absolutely. You trust their style, you absolutely. Trust their taste, and you can basically go on Yelp for some entertainment of people who are under educated, just had like one little.
Well, you read these reviews, and it's like, I went to brunch, and the eggs were uninspired. I'm like, they're eggs, you know. I'm sorry that you thought they were uninspired, but It's funny. You have these experiences, I think, as a bartender, where you make somebody, like someone comes to the bar, they're like, all right, I'd like a Manhattan. I'm like, okay, you know, and I make, you know, my dad drinks Manhattans, my grandfather drank Manhattans, so like, I know how to make a decent Manhattan. I'll never forget, like, this happened, this guy was like, I don't think this is right. So I'm like, I tasted it, I'm like, no, that's kind of how it, that's right. So I made another one just to humor him, you know. And he's like, no, I don't think this is right. I'm like, are you sure you like Manhattans? Because this is how it's supposed to taste.
I mean,
and those are the people that will go home and like write a Yelp review and like be like, oh, the Manhattans weren't good. Well, you might not like that particular thing. You
know? Well, most people's experience with Manhattans this day and age are that they were shaken. First of all, they're made with bourbon instead of rye, and they forgot to put the bitters in there because people didn't know what bitters were for the longest time. And it's not their fault. It's just it died out. For a while, and luckily now cocktails and spirits, and you know, there's more respect for them, and there people have more of an education on what these things are. But yeah, that's you know, I was at a very recently, well, about 6 months ago or so, I was in Grand Central Station in one of their fancy restaurants. I won't say which one, and across the bar, I saw this. Bartender throwing some bourbon and some Maker's Mark and some, you know, like martini and rosé vermouth, no bitters. And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, no, don't. put ice in it and shook it, and then strained it into a cocktail glass, threw a bright red cherry in there, and sent it on its way. And I mean, we're not there yet, but you know, we're getting it gets better every day.
A lot of people that, you know, especially Saturday, like, can I get a Maker's Manhattan? We have a lot of nice small batch bourbons, you know, like, but I always say, like, hey man, I like to make my Manhattans with rye. You should really try it. And I do. And then they're like, oh man, this is really good, man. This is really good. So,
yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like, I mean, it's obviously up to us as bartenders to mm-hmm. do exactly what you just did, you know. Educate the customer, and
but in a nice way. Like, well, hey man, you know, really Manhattan, you can't preach, but you can just like push, be like, hey man, you should really try this.
Well, you should never tell anyone what to do. You should just suggest.
Yes,
maybe they try it another way.
Absolutely.
So okay, I wanted to talk before, we've got about 7 minutes here, and I feel like this next little segment of the show is going to take up the rest of our time. Cool. But so going back to music and playing music and touring with some bands, like Emmanuel and the Fear, you were in Europe a couple times last year.
Yeah, I think we were there for about 10 weeks last year, kind of all over Western Europe and England.
And obviously these are these are drinking countries. excuse me. So when you're out on tour, tell me about some of the experiences that you had as far as like experiences with, like, you know, food, wine, spirits, beer.
I have a couple. I think one of the first ones from the first tour around, we actually returned to this place in the last tour. It was it's called the New Adelphi. It's in Hull. It's like the north of England. It's like the, they call it like the Detroit of England, and it's very kind of like people in London make fun of it. It's like, the if you watch like British comedy, Hull is like the, you know, the butt of jokes. But there's this club called the New Adelphi, and like anybody in from England has played there when no one knew who the hell they were, like Radiohead and stuff. And it's like this odd, like divey club. But there I learned how to pull a proper pint from these dudes, you know, these like older dudes that are, you know, been doing it forever.
And how do they do it?
You do, I'm trying to remember, 3 pulls forward slow, and then you let it sit, and then you do kind of stick it in, and then you do another one.
Yeah,
you know, so pulling a pint of ale. Other stories. Being in Switzerland, drinking Appenzeller bitters and partaking in the local botany / horticulture from the Alps in Bern. Pretty amazing night. But this Appenzeller bitters, if you're ever in Switzerland, try them.
Write that down, people.
I think of some other funny thing. Ordering Fernet Branca in Italy, and the bartender knowing that I was an American, making sure I actually wanted that.
Yeah, well,
I'm like,
that's...
I'm like, yeah.
I think... any bartender should be like, all right, it's one of my favorite tipples. But yeah, I still, when people order a cocktail with Fernet Branca or Fernet Branca heavy cocktail, I'm like, well, do you like Fernet Branca or do you like the other things that are in that cocktail on the list? Because most times they will be like, yeah, sure. But you can kind of, you know, bet on every like 1 or 2 out of 10.
But I think
maybe not understanding.
And then, being in Poland and playing this great venue in Poznan, and they if they really dig you, apparently they just keep bringing vodka up to the stage, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to do it, and you know, Nostrovia, and you know, but they put they chill it, and they put they squeeze fresh lemon juice in, and that's supposed to help with your hangover the next day. Apparently, didn't really help with mine, but.
Did you observe any other like hangover cures in your time out in Europe?
Not really. I think the best hangover cure on the road is not drink as much.
But there are certain things like obviously that that claim to have claim to be like hangover cures. And you were telling me before about finding like Underberg and like stops.
I mean, yeah, you'll be like, you get up, we have some truck stop on the Autobahn in Germany, and you know, like a bratwurst or something, and underneath the cash register at like this like gas station is like next to the candy bars, you know, like it is in the U.S. There's like Underberg and Jägermeister.
That's amazing. I wish I would have had that as a kid. Yeah, but guys are like slamming half liters too.
Oh yeah, that's kind of scary. You know, you get off the Autobahn, and there's like a draft beer, and the like dudes just kind of chilling out, having one,
like wearing his racing gloves.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Before they hop in their Audi and like go like 140 down the left down the line.
It's amazing. But you know what? It's cultural difference. obviously, there are some other things like the food. You had some
yeah. Oh, the same place with the Fernet Branco. We were playing this venue. It was in Faenza in Italy, and the venue's attached to this like super like, I don't know, for lack of a better term, like gourmet restaurant. And it was like 3-course meal. You know, rabbit ragu with you know, wine with every course. And it was, you know, our booking agent said, you know, when you go to this venue, they're going to treat you really well. And it was awesome. And that's like kind of what makes up for like the lack of sleep and the
that's also what makes up for playing in the United drives. States
and yeah, playing in the United
States, paying for your PBRs yeah. at the venue. And luckily you got to go in and experience some really cool stuff out in Europe and bring it back home and educate people on it, and I think it's a really great thing that you have had those experiences to do so. Going back to really quickly before we sign off, we're talking on the break about Minibar and how it's been like a great place for the neighborhood, a good hang place, like chill. We can talk about anything there. It's like perfect.
Yeah.
Like just,
I mean, I think I really need to give a shout out to Jennifer McShane, who's the owner. Absolutely. She's like a really, you know, dear friend of mine. But she opened that bar, you know, years ago, and I drank there before I worked there, but her goal, which I think it should be a goal of like any neighbor bar, she's like, I want to make it feel like, I mean, it's small too, but she's like, I want to make it feel like people's living rooms, yeah, where they can totally go meet their neighbors and have a cocktail. And I, you know, I think that's what drew me in as a customer originally. And it's why, you know, I love working there.
Awesome, man. Well, I love going there, and I'm really glad that you came on the show today. Guys, my guest today has been Nick Coles of Minibar. If you ever get a chance to go down to Carroll Gardens, or if you're in the neighborhood, please go by and see him. What nights are you there?
I'm there Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday when I'm around. So
Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday. Good nights.
Word.
And yeah, we'll be seeing you there Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks a lot, Nick. And thanks for listening to the Speakeasy.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers.
Yes, higher than a kite.
Baba Doody.
That cat is high.
Baba Booba.
Look at that look in his eye.
Babe.
Man, I wouldn't lie. The cat's higher than a kite.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. The Snacky Tunes compilation has arrived and is available for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com. This compilation features live performances from some of the hottest acts around today, including Midnight Magic, Surfer Blood, Oberhofer, and more. Again, you can download this compilation for free on our website, heritageradionetwork.com, and make sure to listen to Snacky Tunes every Monday at 2 p.m. on Heritage Radio Network. The following is a public service announcement from Beer Sessions Radio.
Beyond the human and environmental casualties of the triple threat disaster in Japan, there will likely also be losses to our collective food culture, from miso and sake makers to outstanding fisheries. With help from the New York State Brewers Association, the Good Beer Seal, Beer Sessions Radio, and craft breweries alike, Jimmy Carboni is hoping to raise funds that will go directly to Hitachino, an excellent Japanese brewery, through a benefit at Brooklyn Brewery next Monday, March 28th from 7 to 10 p.m. In addition to beer, there'll be food from the Meat Hook, Jimmy's No. 43, Waterfront Ale House, and a few local Japanese restaurants. All money raised will go to Kyuchi Brewery and Hitachino Beers, which they will distribute via humanitarian aid locally. To date, the brewery, which lost 500 bottles in the earthquake and suffered some damage to its physical plant, is filtering and bottling water for its community and providing them with food. You can read a letter about the quake's aftermath to Jimmy from Toshiyuki Kyuchi, the brewery owner, on his site. And you can buy tickets to the benefit on brownpapertickets.com/event/166978. That's brownpapertickets.com/event/166978. The following is a public service announcement from the Museum of Food and Drink. Dave Arnold and Patrick Martins have gathered a team of New York's most innovative chefs and bartenders to create a 9-course fundraiser lunch at Del Posto, Sunday, March 27th. Their intent? To kickstart the greatest food museum in the world. The menu for this unprecedented event is derived from educational themes of the museum. Chefs will draw inspiration from sources outside their normal sphere. How will a cutting-edge chef handle the Paleolithic, or a dish only using pre-Columbian ingredients? What will a modern Italian chef do with ancient Rome? The chefs include David Chang of Momofuku, Wiley Dufresne of WD-50, Mark Ladner of Del Posto, Nils Noren of the French Culinary Institute, Cesare Casella of Salumeria Rossi, Carlo Maracci of Roberta's, Brooks Headley of Del Posto, and Christina Tozzi of Momofuku Milk Bar. Bartenders include Audrey Sanders of Pegu Club, Thomas Waugh of Death & Company, Simon Ford of Pernod Ricard, Damon Bolte of Prime Meats, and Eben Clem of BR Guest Restaurants. Proceeds from the event will directly support the Museum of Food and Drink. Tickets are very limited and $250 per person. To purchase tickets, please visit mofad.eventbrite.com. That's mofad.eventbrite.com. Once again, mofad.eventbrite.com. Sponsored by Pernod Ricard, Heritage Foods USA, Pat LaFrieda Meats, Barterhouse Wines, Del Posto Restaurant.